In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, summarizing today our talks about the Lord's Prayer. For several weeks, we've been looking carefully at the various phrases of the Lord's Prayer and discovering how it does really cover just about everything that we want to say to God. It's a wonderful prayer, and if you're not used to using it in your personal private devotions, I would strongly recommend that you do this, and especially when you don't know what to pray. And I have that experience often, that I simply do not know exactly what to pray in many situations and for many different people. And so I pray for an individual, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," in that person's life. I had the most marvelously encouraging letter from a missionary several weeks ago. And as I read this letter, it's 4 pages, single space, typed, I thought, everything that I'm trying to say about what the Lord's Prayer teaches us is in some way or other spoken about in this letter. So I'm going to read you quite a bit of this missionary's letter. She starts right out by saying, "I want to thank you for your book, Loneliness. It has been a timely gift to me. I am not widowed or divorced." And then she goes on to tell how she is the house mother for missionary children, and she never expected that my book, Loneliness, would hold such a potent message for her. Well, the thing was that they had been living for 10 years in a primitive tribe. And so it was a great pleasure when they were asked to come out to the coast for the purpose of being dorm parents in the new school. She says, "Everyone in the mission wrote encouraging notes and repeatedly complimented, 'You guys will be great for the job.' Many have thanked us for making the sacrifice." But she goes on to say that she relished the idea of being out of the jungle for a change and in what would be called civilization. 2 of their children were there going to high school. And so they were in a very civilized, freshly painted, lovely home with all the comforts and conveniences of town. "We have 24-hour power, and only those who have lived without 24-hour power, and I think sometimes it's worse to have intermittent power than none at all, a phone, even cable TV for live news coverage at night. And when people ask us how we're handling the job, I can't help but respond, 'It's like a furlough to me. What a thrill to jump in the van and shop. Fresh vegetables at market every day, post office down the road, et cetera, et cetera.' But there was a little struggle going on quietly in her life," she says, "as she settled in so happily to civilized life, she began to have a little struggle about going back again because this was only a temporary assignment. So she was hoping that maybe they would be asked to stay for another year or maybe even 2 or 3, as though I were crossing my fingers of faith," she said. But she felt guilty for this desire to abandon what they had begun. She says, "My husband understood, and I know God understands. But I was beginning to withdraw from whatever suggested ties to the tribe, as though in my heart I were screaming, 'Let me look ahead to new horizons. Don't drag me back to the old ones.'" And then she gives us a little background about who she is. I never heard of this lady. "Both my husband and I were saved in the early 70s out of the hippie culture. I was raised in such and such a church, and Frank in the synagogue. But we were both floating along in the world system with no thought for the living God." Then she tells about how the Lord brought her to consideration of Christianity. It was the funeral of one of her best friends, and then the hound of heaven kept after her. She said, finally, her husband became a Christian, but his family was horrified when they were married, and they became violent when they heard of their son's new faith. So it was time for us to leave and cleave. You know what the reference is there. A husband is supposed to leave his parents and cleave to his wife. And there were many wild and wonderful experiences that took place, but she said, little did we know that an elderly couple was praying the Lord to send us out as missionaries. After hearing Dunn Gordy speak about the story of God planted five seeds, we were smitten. We laid our lives before God and committed ourselves unto death. Now, may I put in a parenthesis here and remind you that this does relate to one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Four words, which are so easily skipped over or said glibly. But when we say thy will be done, we are in effect dying to ourselves in order to live unto God. And we have to be prepared to say, Lord, do anything you want with me. So my correspondent says, we committed ourselves unto death. If God wills that we die at the tip of an arrow somewhere in the jungle, let it be. And off we went to Bible school. Every trial along the way has been illuminated by this. And that points up the importance of making a lifetime decision. The commitment to Jesus Christ himself, to his will, for whatever that may entail, for whatever the cost may be, is a very important decision. It is perhaps the only important decision that you and I will ever make. And I loved this expression. Every trial along the way had been illuminated by this. We'd given our lives to the Lord to death. How could we hold on to the things of this world? And then there were all those little deaths that came along. She describes the rules of the mission. There were dress codes. They weren't allowed to wear blue jeans. They had to give up certain kinds of food that they were used to having. But she said we had never had the clear Bible teaching in our lives that we were getting in the training program. And each day of classes was like a rainbow bursting out of the storm. But then there was a big fear in her life, that of sending her children away to boarding schools. And they came upon the idea of homeschooling, and so she said we homeschooled for 10 years until they were given the privilege of going up and being house parents in this school in civilized life. Well, there have been the usual missionary problems, malaria, back trouble, earthquakes, flooding. Both my parents passed away, she said, in my absence from home. Once there was a riot, once we were surrounded by a couple of hundred painted warriors with spears, but his grace held us there. And listen to this, God knows what's perfect for us at every turn of the trail, doesn't he? When we pray, thy will be done, if we could only believe this one woman's testimony, that every turn of the trail has proved that God knows what's perfect, not to mention all the testimonies of Scripture, all the testimonies of Christian history. I'm an ordinary woman with ordinary wants, she says, but I realize that basically it's loneliness that I struggled with. Being slated to return to the tribe, I have what I don't want. I want to be around a variety of people, and she's referring there to my definition of suffering, as I've described it in both my books, Loneliness and A Path Through Suffering. Suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. But she said, I needed to put to rest my self-centeredness. I needed to see that living for self is the sure road to spiritual emptiness. So when you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it shouldn't be too scary because God knows the perfect way, and it leads not to emptiness, but to fulfillment. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what was he giving her? He was giving her the opportunity to live for a while in civilization. He was giving her the malaria and the back trouble and the earthquakes and the flooding and the riots and the spears in order to give her an opportunity to trust him. Perhaps that sounds just too outrageous. But let me read what she says. Your book helped me to come back to this, as you expressed it on page 140. Waiting on God in this way is true faith. No agenda of one's own, no deadlines, no demands on what God must do. Simply an open heart and open hands, ready to receive that which God shall choose, and a perfect confidence that what He chooses will be better than our best. Well, it's been fun sharing all this with you, she writes, and has helped me to appreciate afresh what God's done for me and to solidify this recommitment to lay my life down for Him gladly. What a testimony. Thank you so much for that letter. If you happen to be listening, and I didn't know whether I should mention your name or not, and since you're so far away, I didn't have time to write for permission. But we do thank you for that testimony. A summary of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That woman has accepted the will of God. She's living for the kingdom of God. She's receiving from Him the daily bread that He gives her. She's following His guidance. And I'm sure she's singing, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.